Well, to put it into context, when I was in graduate school, which I have to admit was getting on for 20 years ago, you could list all of the cyber threats on one single page of paper. In fact, you could probably do it on an index card because there were maybe a dozen different viruses, perhaps 50 by the time I left. Nowadays, we're looking at millions, literally millions of threats total, and we're adding them at a rate of more than one an hour. If you followed some of the recent information about CovePace, we've gone from viruses that attacked simple files to worms that get people enlisted in running CAPTCHA files for them. In other words, the people are now working for the cybersecurity computers that have been defeated by the opponent.
If they are getting more sophisticated and we, the good guys, are trying to outrun this lava flow, what's the solution to getting all this to work?
Well, of course, we need to continue to invest in what's going on, but to me, investing only in catch-and-patch types of solutions and let's run as fast as we can to stay ahead of the threat isn't going to be sufficient. What we are doing at Pacific Northwest National Lab is looking at some alternatives that might lead us to a little better future, which I think is what we all want. So, for instance, we're looking at novel approaches. We have a Digital Lance program. The idea is that the Digital Lance can run around, kind of scurry through your network and clean up threats predictably before they occur. If you think about how ants get into everything and follow a little trail to the source of the food and bring that information back, we can use the same approach to try to find a cyber threat on your system.
It sounds so futuristic. It can be people might be scared of that, though.
Well, I know, and Digital Lance does make people feel a little bit creepy-crawly, but if you think about the metaphor, it is something that kind of under the radar, it doesn't have to be managed directly, and those are the sorts of threats that might be compatible. We have a few they might find a little bit less animalistic, so to speak, and we're using approaches from the Human Genome Project, too, that help us find malware before it strikes. The same things that will let us better understand how people are related let us understand how malware is related. That helps us find it faster.
So is there any one answer, or do we have to tailor the answers for the needs? I mean, do we have to have several different answers? How does this work?
Amy, you have hit it spot on. We need a solution that addresses all the different levels. The new research that we're working on at the Pacific National Lab and other places is certainly one part of the picture. Another very important part of the picture is personal responsibility. Having our next generation, our current generations, better understand how they're part of the threat is a piece of the picture.
Are we getting more sophisticated in our approach? Are people actually using these new kind of measures?
Well, we're starting to get more sophisticated, but I haven't seen anything quite like our Digital Lance out there yet, and I would dearly love to see those types of things adopted. Difficulty is, of course, any kind of new technology takes a while for acceptance, and we tend to see more of the older style out there. This is an area we're going to need to invest in, just like we need new roads from time to time. I think it's time for a new cybersecurity support system.
Cybersecurity is huge. Privacy, also huge. So if these little digital ants are going to be going through my network, do I run the risk of the ant targeting something of mine that I don't necessarily want somebody else to see, you know, a privileged file or institutional knowledge?
Amy, if they're my ants, you'll be in good shape. I have a strong belief in privacy. I think that it's very important that in our rush to secure our systems, we do not tread on the rights and the privacy of citizens. The nice thing about using some of these automated approaches is that you can build into them what they're allowed to bring back and what people are allowed to see about the data that they have. So it's a little bit more clinical than having an individual leaf through your files and try to figure out whether you have a problem.
One of the issues that's still out there is patching, known patches that people need to get in place. Can these kinds of techniques work for those kinds of problems?
They can certainly help. Now, patching has gotten a lot more sophisticated over the years, and we now have push patches, so they come to us directly without our having to remember and once a month to go out and fix those, just as we have to remember to change the oil in our cars. It happens automatically now, and that's good. The problem is it's more predictable, and anything that's predictable is something that can be taken advantage of by an opponent. So something that's a little more random, something like the ants or some of our other approaches that doesn't make it so easy for an adversary to know when you have a patch there is important. Also, though, anything that has to be patched, there's going to be a window of vulnerability between the time when that error, that vulnerability is spotted, and when that patch is applied. And no matter how short it is, in cyber time, a short period of time to us is an infinity to a botnet or something that wants to get in. So the real solution long-term is designing security into the system so that they are intrinsic secure and less vulnerable to these threats.
And for people who may not know what the Pacific Northwest National Laboratory is, sometimes we get so Beltway focused out there in the Pacific Northwest. Describe what the Pacific Northwest National Laboratory is.
Oh, the Pacific Northwest National Laboratory is a Department of Energy Office of Science laboratory, also with responsibility to the Department of Homeland Security. And it's one of those labs that was established to help the Department of Energy support its science-based needs. So we have everything from computer security researchers like myself to chemists, biologists, physicists, nuclear scientists, just a wide array of very high-end, very high-caliber people that I'm delighted to work with. And located, as I said, in eastern Washington, and we have all of these projects that affect both national security, power grid, and many other areas of interest to our citizens.
And sometimes people worry about vendors out there, you know, and they have a lot of their work done overseas. So the Digital Ants, this is a government project.
This is indeed. This is something that we're investing in internally from our LDRD, our Long-Term Research Development Funds at Pacific Northwest, and we're hoping that it will support a number of different areas. It will be one of the examples included in the National Science Foundation's new Genie project, which is looking at the next generation internet, for instance.
I don't think people often think of the national laboratories working on cyber issues. I don't think it's on many people's radar screen.
Well, it's one of the reasons why I enjoyed coming to this laboratory. I hadn't been aware of that either till I joined them about 6 years ago. But they hired me partly because they wanted someone from academia. And I had been leading a number of cyber centers in that area, one of the first that NSA recognized at University of Idaho. They wanted to bring our research out into the public so more people would know about it and so we could be a benefit to more places.